Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live. Live. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, November 14th, 2018. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, everyone. Glad to be here.
And Michael Kelly here as well.
Good evening, everyone. Always happy to be here.
Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this weekly service, ICMH Church also has several other educational programs, including EmpoweredRecovery.com, which offers help for the friends and family of alcoholics and addicts, Paranexus.org, an association of anomalous researchers, MetaphysicsInstitute.org, our flagship school that offers bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysical science, spiritual counseling, coaching, healing, hypnosis, and a lot of other areas, and Thomas Francis University at tfuniversity.org, which offers standalone metaphysical courses and degrees as well. I'd like to read our abbreviated principles of belief. There are 9 of them. The first one is do no harm, do right. Number 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. Number 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And you can find the full expanded version of these 9 principles of belief on our website at metaphysicalhumanism.org. So we'd like to welcome everybody joining us live tonight, as well as those listening to the archives. We appreciate you being here. We have a good crowd in our chat room. And so if you're listening but you're not logged into the chat room, you might want to log in and interact with everyone. Tonight, we're going to talk about the illusion of time. Now, I was looking back in our archives, and it's been almost 2 years ago that we discussed a little bit on this past, present, and future, and that's kind of what we're going to be talking about, the illusion of time that past, present, and future all exist, and even right now, they all exist. And this is an interesting and fascinating concept with profound ramifications, and of course, a lot of what we're doing here, it was part speculation, but it's also based on Einstein's theory of relativity and with having to do with time, space, and motion. And so what I want to do is relate a little bit about a video that I watched earlier today. You can look this up on YouTube after we get done here sometime, and you'll just have to do a search. It's called The Illusion of Time, Past, Present, and Future All Exist Together. That's the name of the video. It's a portion of a documentary. But it's fascinating. So let me give you the gist of it, which can set the stage for our discussion tonight, because there are some ramifications. And the purpose of this discussion is to not only relate what science believes to be going on, but also to speculate speculate on what it could mean and tie some things together. So we'll begin with kind of explaining why past, present, and future are all coexisting in a sense. If you think about space-time, and you may or may not be familiar with that, but it's the fabric of the universe, of the cosmos, space-time. It's what it is. It has to do with gravity. It has to do with motion. It has to do with the theory of relativity. Basically, Einstein says that when you start moving, time changes. And so what they did some years back is they had two atomic clocks that were perfectly synced together exactly the same time. They put one on a jet, an airplane, and they flew that jet around a while, and then they checked to see whether the clocks were still in sync, and they were not. Now, they were only off by, I don't know what it was, billionths of a second. It was very, very small. It was minuscule, but they were still off. And so that pretty much proved Einstein's theory that when you get moving, and of course the faster you move, the bigger the time dilation is. In fact, that's why the GPS satellites have to adjust for that. Because if they didn't adjust for that, the directions that we get from our GPSs wouldn't matter anymore. They wouldn't be accurate at all. So they have to adjust for that very thing. So here's the way this video kind of describes it. If you think about, they talk about these things called now slices, just a slice of time, right now. And if you think of right now, this moment, you know, I'm doing a radio program, you're listening to a radio program, and on the other side of the planet, people are doing whatever they're doing. Of course, we've got people around the country and world who listen to this. So right now, you're listening to this program, and right now, I'm doing this program. And people are doing all kinds of things around the planet, right? Well, if you think about it, stretching out a little bit, you know, there's things going on in the universe too. You know, there's supernovas going on, perhaps in the far reaches of the universe. And let's just imagine for a moment that there's alien life. And there is, of course. And, you know, what are they doing right now here in this moment? And they're doing something. And if you think about it, and this is what the video kind of discussed a little bit, is that an alien 10 billion light years from Earth, stationary, we're sitting here, I'm sitting here in my chair, and if you likely might be sitting, but we're stationary, the alien's stationary, and we have this now slice of time, the slice of time that is this present moment. And it's like, imagine a loaf of bread and you slice the bread, right? A loaf of bread with different slices in it. You buy it at the store. And each one of those slices is a now slice. It's this moment. And it's across the universe. And it all syncs up. It's all this moment. But what Einstein talked about is when motion comes into the picture, it changes things. So as this video discussed, let's say that the alien 10 billion light years from Earth starts riding a bicycle away from Earth. You know, I'm riding a bicycle. That's not very fast. But let's say they're riding a bicycle away from Earth, not toward Earth, but away from Earth. Well, now we're going to create this time dilation. It's going to be extremely minuscule, you know, just like the jet airplane atomic clock thing was. It's going to be very, very minuscule. But the fact is that it's 10 billion light years away from Earth. So if you envision that loaf of bread now, instead of the slices being sliced directly across the loaf, now you start a little bit of an angle slice. And the further, you know, you start at the one side of the loaf of bread where you cut it, and you cut it at an angle, and now it's deviated across the loaf of bread. And so as you expand over time and space, 10 billion light years, now that minuscule difference in time where the alien is now become several hundred years, perhaps, in the past. So now the moment that alien is riding this bike does not, no longer correlates with us here in this moment. It correlates with, say, 200 years in the past and what was going on there. So if you think about that, in a sense, okay, the alien's reality is in that moment's there, and 200 years ago, maybe Beethoven or Bach or whoever, you know, whatever was going on 200 years ago, it's happening. And so if that alien could somehow instantly transport across the universe 10 million light years to Earth, what would they see? Well, they would be 200 years ago in that reality. And if you think about it, think about you as being the alien or you going across the universe like that. You're there in that reality 200 years ago, and it's real. Just like real now is real. You're in this moment. You have people perhaps around you. You have your house, your whatever you're listening. You have the world around you. It's this real live moment, right? Well, it's the same for them. Think about that for a moment. All right, so let's flip it the other way. Let's say the alien is riding his bike toward us. Well, that's going to slice it still at an angle, not much of one, but it's still going to slice it at an angle. And instead of being in the past, if he was to instantly transport across the universe, he'd be a couple hundred years in the future, let's say. A couple hundred years in the future, if he was to instantly transport, that's where he would be, in that moment of now, that now slice of time. Because it's not parallel, it's angled. And so now we have the future is also existing in this now slice or this moment. And so that's the gist of the video. And it got me thinking and trying to put this into more real terms, realistic terms. If you think about this, you know, in February I'm going to turn 60. Okay, right now I'm doing a radio program. Well, what if that alien wasn't so far away, and when he did his transport, he transported to my birthday in February, and at that moment, there I am on my 60th birthday, you know, people around me, Tracy around me, and Michael and whoever, and I'm at home or wherever, or out having dinner, something like that, but that's real. It's going to be a real moment, just like right here, right now is a real moment. So in that sense, that future exists, doesn't it? And, of course, the past would exist. So that's why past, present, future, they all exist. And we've talked about this in the past, and we've even discussed it within the context of the Akashic Record. And, in fact, this video that I've been referring to basically says that everything that has happened or will happen is that information is written on the universe because depending on where you're at, because of the laws of physics, and if you had the technology and the ability to transport, you could go anywhere in time and you could learn anything. You could talk to anybody who has ever existed or will ever exist. That's not the speculation part. That's the scientific part. It's fascinating, isn't it? Because what are the ramifications of that? Think about this for a moment. You know, he started riding his bike away from us, and he transported to my first day at school. Think about you doing that. You transport to your first day of school. You see a bunch of kids their first day of school. And that's in the past. It's in our past. It's not our present moment. But it's still just as real in that time frame as our present moment is to us. Isn't that fascinating? What does that mean for everything? Now, a lot of people say, well, if everything that's ever happened or will happen is basically written, does that mean that there's predestination, that somebody, you know, has all predetermined what's going to happen? And the answer is no. Because using my own example, in February I'll be 60. Well, whatever my reality is in three months, it's going to be based on my choices now. But if the alien transported over, he would be experiencing whatever my reality is at that point. He would be, you know, visiting me, whatever, and I would be in that moment. And whatever choices I had made in the previous 2 or 3 months would be my reality. Well, that's the point here. You know, the future's not set in stone. Because we still have that free will. We still have the ability to make choices and decisions. And that's why it all works. So you can still do what you want.
And it's not real until it's observed.
Yeah. And that's the thing. And it's not real until you get there. But you got to remember that the alien transporting to our future, you know, that's a future that's already happened from that perspective, right? So from the alien's perspective, in 2 or 3 months when I turn 60, you know, everything that's happened up to that point has already happened. Does, you know, it's kind of mind, it's hard to wrap your brain around, but it tends to make sense. Any comments from any?
I think that this is where we enter consciousness. Mm-hmm. And if we're conscious of that, it's based on the energy that's set up in our consciousness at this moment and what we're observing. And we can, you know, by the discussion, see the past and see the future, which, of course, that lends into what psychic phenomena is, and people who kind of can see outside the timeline, who see a space-time distortion, if you will, able to see that slice of bread angled that way or that way. But it's, I think, reality is not real until it's observed. Therefore, it automatically infers there's a choice. That then the choice. So let's say coming to your birthday in 3 months or whatever's going on is based on whatever your consciousness is today. If your consciousness changes, let's say you learn something, you grow, you alter your reality tomorrow, then your birthday in February is going to look different if that alien transports. Make sense? So it's all right. About expanding consciousness and the vibrational frequencies of kind of where we're at. But what's that word where the, I can't think of it right now. It's just describe the density. It. The density of energy, you know, where you rise your lower your entropy. Sorry, there I go.
Oh, entropy, there you go. Yeah.
So it's kind of where entropy enters into it. And so it kind of all works together. It's just very hard for a linear thinking to start saying which parts fit in the whole. And there is a mathematical equation to all of it. Which is fascinating too, but it's trying to make sense of it. Science is still trying to make sense of this, but for some reason, it makes sense to me based on my individual perceptions of seeing the past or seeing the future. I think just based on memory, you know, you remember something like when you were 5 years old, and it's as real now as it was then. You know, but you're going into a slipstream of it because life happens in layers, right? It's not just your fifth birthday, but there's a multitude of things going on, but it's like taking out a thread or connecting to a thread of time. And therefore you can change your past based on what you're viewing. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's a fascinating concept because it's like the Akashic Record where everything's been written, and that's what I believe is where when psychics tap into that, that's where they're tapping into is the Akashic Record. But it's also limited by time in some respects, and we've talked about this before, is because the future's not written in stone. A lot of times psychics will make a prediction, but it's based on probabilities, based on current attitudes, choices, behaviors.
Yes.
It's never set in stone. You could always change your future. It's just that when you're doing this time travel thing, we're looking at it from a different perspective. We're looking at a future that's already been experienced on some level. People have already made their choices. And so we're just seeing the aftermath of that, so to speak.
Well, I wonder how do time loops factor in?
If there are such a thing, I mean,
well, like history repeating itself. Right? Yeah, if you think about history repeating itself, a vibration or like a spiral of kind of energy where a point meets up with a point, it's just a different expression of the same thing.
Well, that could be a lot of human psychology where history repeats itself. You know, people do the same things over and over again. We all do that. We all do the same things over and over again until we learn the lesson. Well, of course, if they're not positive things, I mean, if they're mistakes or whatever, we'll keep doing those things over and over again until we learn that lesson. And so that's probably a different thing. It's more based on human psychology. But think about this. Okay, we just talked about this this notion of the past, present, future, all existing, coexisting. Now, if we enter in, you know, parallel universes theory or multiple worlds theory, now we have an infinite number of universes where every conceivable probability or possibility is happening. You know, it adds to the whole thing. And then that leads to questions, existential questions like, all right, you know, what's going on with this whole thing? How can there be that many? If in fact it's true, how can there be that many? What's prompted this? What's started this? You know, where does it all come from? And if you've seen any of these documentaries with, you know, showing the multiple universes, it's like these bubbles, you know, bubble universes in an expanse, and there's all these different bubbles, balls floating, and they're all each of their own universe. And then you wonder, well, what's above that? Is there yet another level or more above that? And where does it all end? And where did it all come from? Of course, those are questions we can't currently answer right now. And of course, the religions will say, well, God created it. Well, what a simple answer. That's not good enough. You know, it's so 20th century and prior. Right now, we want to know what's going on with the whole thing, because there's more to it than just that. Any comments, Michael?
Well, you know, I think especially when it comes to God and the notion that God created and did everything, it just kicks the problem down the road in the sense that, well, how did God come to be, or who created God? And it doesn't answer the essential mystery, and it's never been satisfying, which is kind of the case when it comes to a lot of origin things. But when I was thinking about time and listening to the discussion, and the notion that all time and space are related, and everything that will happen is plotted on some distant point, makes me think about if time is truly infinite, in the sense that does it continue on forever and ever and ever, or is it kind of a cycle of repetition, where upon the end of our universe, it'll be reborn? Is it going to be the same sequence of events played out again, or is it going to be another pattern? But if you think about
that's why I was thinking of the loop. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, a true infinite universe, you could have, in a sense, everything that could possibly happen in our own universe without even considering a parallel universe, because of the infinite nature of time. Particles can only arrange themselves in so many ways. So if you have these cycles of a universe being born, going through its cycle, contracting, dying, or simply phasing out, whatever happens, there can only be so many, arrangement of things.
Well, then that leads us back into the continuity of life, right? Where, who knows how far time goes on into the future? It could be infinite. We don't know. But let's talk about our own time. You know, we go on, and when we die, do we really die? You know, it doesn't make any sense that we would just die. And if there are levels beyond, then we may not truly get an understanding of the nature of this, everything that is, the grand universe, the grand cosmos, everything that there is, the grand scheme of things, until we're up a few levels. I don't know. But it's like this. It's like if you live in a two-dimensional world, you know, and all you see is flat, and two directions, you know, there's not depth. There's just left, right, you know, there's length and width, but there's not depth. It would probably be impossible to understand depth, you know, a three-dimensional world. And so you might have a being who is in a three-dimensional world looking down on your two-dimensional world and talking to you, and you don't know where it comes from. Because, you know, we can't wrap our brains around that. And the same could be true of this three-dimensional, four-dimensional world that we live in. You know, there's obviously more dimensions, so we may need to add more data and awareness as we cross over, as we go through each chapter of life. and maybe we'll learn more. That's just speculation. I don't know, but it's, you know, it's the only thing I can come up with because, you know, unless we are able to create the technology and have the scientific understanding over the next millennia that gets us closer to the answers that we're seeking.
You know, Dr. Phyllis is mentioning that it helps explain how she sees what she does when consulting with someone. Because sometimes it's overwhelming. You get in so many variables. And what I can suggest, Phyllis, is presenting the variables. You know, it's like the most likely. And making a kind of giving options. And I'll say this honestly. I've been doing readings for a long time. Back in the 70s, I used to see people's lives on a really clear straight line. You know, based on the now, this is what I see coming and the likelihood of what's, you know, whatever you do with this information is up to you. It started to change somewhere in the mid-80s, late 80s. And I started to ask other readers that, of course, I knew well and respected very much. They're very talented, talented people. And they had started to feel some of that, you know, unsettling also. Things weren't as clear. So then I knew it wasn't just me because we all evolve. By the mid-90s, it was like I was in a distortion of space-time. I really felt that way because I would sit down with somebody and I wouldn't see a clear straight line. I would see like three pathways, three potential pathways. So again, I checked in with some people I know and respect. They were all having the same issues. It was like there's another conversion of energy, space-time continuums. Maybe it's the density, population explosions. Who knows? But there was something going on. And I felt that it started to calm a little bit. So this is where I wonder about time loops. And I wonder about a different expression of the same thing. I'm sure that back in the mid-1800s, there was a lot of the time of industrialization, you know, and things began to change. And then, you know, 100 years later, there's another great forward movement in technology and communications. So it seems that there could be cycles within cycles within cycles.
In space. How do we know?
Exactly, in space-time. So and again, for the grace of growing older and seeing things differently and trying to be as honest with myself as possible, which part is just me growing and changing versus what is the collective energy that is changing? And so that's something, Phyllis, to look at. But when you're sitting with somebody, say, this is what I see is kind of going on, but this is the events unfolding, but there's possibilities. You know, based on choices and allow people, of course, that free will to do that. Because I think we're just facilitators in that way.
And, you know, so just to think about this, you know, past, present, future, all existing now. You know, think about it. Those the past that we're from, our past, the worlds that we lived in back in the 70s, 60s, 50s, 80s, 90s, they're all still going on. Just as they were when we experienced them, we passed through them, you know, and so it's fascinating. This is not the speculation part. That's the scientific part because of Einstein's theory of relativity. It's fascinating to contemplate. Fran asks about deja vu, where it fits in. Do you have any thoughts on that, Dr. Hunter?
Well, you know, some of my elder friends in Indian countries say that the more deja vus you have, the closer you are to your true path. Basically in discussion, it's where alternate selves are lining up in space-time. So it's interesting. Like you've been there before. It's not really that you've been there before. You're there simultaneously linking up with other realities. But you have a choice. Because if you stay with the deja vu, you can say, and you think it's the past, ask yourself what happened before. It's really what's happening at in another reality. Because the deja vu is not a past. Rather, it's a simultaneous connection to an altered space-time, if that makes sense. That's my view on it. But who knows, right?
Mm-hmm. Interesting stuff. Now, if you would like a card pulled from our Inner Oracle card deck, please put your name in the chat room. Dr. Hunter, did you cover the points that you had wanted to cover prior?
Well, I think the only thing is when we relate this down to our basic psychology and understanding ourselves better is reality is what we perceive it to be. Everybody has their own perception of reality and their own perception of space, their own perception of time. And so it's remembering that you're an independent individual who has the ability, capacity, and the free will to shift your reality, you know, and hopefully it's in a way that expands consciousness, which of course, you know, drops the entropy, right?
And, you know, Dr. Brandy mentioned in the chat, collective energy expands as we do, so while we experience it, we also influence it. And that, you know, that's true. We're all influencing our own reality, and that's where the choices and decisions. We are where we are because of the choices we've made. If you want to be somewhere different, make different decisions, make different choices. And if you don't want to make a choice, then choices will be made for you by others, by the universe, whatever. The universe continues to give us opportunities to grow. And if we grow, then we move on to new opportunities to grow. But if we don't learn, then we keep getting those same opportunities to learn the lesson until we do. That's just the way of the world. All right, let's switch gears now. The Inner Oracle card deck is our...
Well, I'm going to ask Michael to pull a card for Sherry, but I would like to just mention that Fran pulled a card for the room tonight, which is number 35. One planet, one race, one ancestry, and one destiny. So something to think about there. Michael,
Before you get into it, I just wanted to explain our Inner Oracle card deck. They're basically nuggets of things we teach in our school. They're life lessons. They're practical things, and they're designed to get you thinking. So with that having been said, please continue.
Michael.
All right. If I'm correct, I believe we have Sherry first. Is that right?
I think so. I was writing names pretty fast here.
Yep, Sherry's first.
All right, so I have number 17, reinvention. Nothing is more powerful or transformative than self-reinvention, resulting in a personal identity foundation shift. Far-reaching and profound, such a personal reinvention shifts the foundation of your self-concept from external to internal, which in turn is vital to your future success and happiness. Re-examine your core values, ensuring they are healthy. Answer the questions, what do I call a good day, and what else in my life should be reinvented?
Great. Brandy, the message for you today is number 37, groundedness. Remain grounded by looking for evidence that supports or refutes claims or beliefs. Have a compelling and defensible basis for your beliefs, especially esoteric beliefs. An absence or denial of evidence does not assure a truthful conclusion. Be willing to examine beliefs, assumptions, and opinions and weigh them against the facts. Suspend judgment until you have considered all the facts or have more facts to uncover. Adjust opinions when new facts are found. So hopefully you relate to that in some way. Dr. Shirley is next. Michael?
And for Dr. Shirley, I pulled number 12, Spirit, Cosmos, and Divine Energy. This is uniquely appropriate for our universe-oriented conversation. Drawing this card indicates the evolving relationship you have with your own inner spirit or higher self within the context of the greater universe. You are growing your relationship with the cosmic consciousness. Continue to observe and appreciate the interconnectedness of all life forms within the fabric of life and the important role you and they play.
Well, you know how bonkers this is going to be. I just pulled one for Dr. Phyllis, and it was the same card.
Oh, wow.
You mean spirit, cosmos, divine energy?
Yeah, number 12. But, you know, for the sake of expanding our awareness a little more, Phyllis, I just pulled number 45. inspiration and motivation. That's appropriate for you opening a new business these days. Inspiration and motivation come from hope. Motivation means finding a meaningful reason to do something. Look within for inspiration leading to motivation by reflecting on your goals and the life you want to live. Drive and accomplishment may be missing from your life, or your life may revolve too heavily around it. Remain balanced, inspired, and motivated with the vigor of a positive energy. Awesome. Dr. Edward is up, Michael.
And for Dr. Edward, who we've been having some very interesting conversations with in the chat tonight, correct me, did we pull this one earlier tonight? One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny?
I didn't read it, but that was Fran's message for the group.
I thought so.
Go ahead and read that.
Yeah.
All right. Number 35, divine energy lives in all things. Diversity in nature and among humanity is not an evolutionary mistake. It is an evolutionary constant. This card advocates equality, peace, unity, healthy life skills, higher consciousness, and spiritual enlightenment. It is critical for our spiritual evolution that we display tolerance and equality towards others as well as ourselves. Remember, you are of divine energy.
You know, I got to tell you, this is it must be a loop in the time-space continuum because I keep pulling cards that Michael has just read. I kid you not.
Which one?
So I'm having to pull another one here for Fran, and it's number 18, Evolution. Evolution is the driving force of all life. Change is always afoot. Be aware and participate in the evolution of present energies that change situations. Resistance to change is born from fear of losing control. Resistance to change prolongs discomfort, but fear not. Personal growth and enlightenment are sure to result in the wake of your own evolution and that of life around you. Thus, entropy is lowered. Love that. All right, Taz is next. Michael?
And for Taz, I pulled number 14, Energy Shift, New Chapter. Energy shifts are a natural result from increased awareness, knowledge, and new attitudes that naturally open new chapters in one's life. It's an excellent time to clarify your vision during this time of shifting energy. Reflect, gather your energy, breathe, and step forward with a renewed sense of direction. Out with the old and in with the new.
Now, have I missed anyone, or is that...
I don't think so.
Is that it for this evening?
I think that's it.
You know, I find this a really fascinating subject. Of course, it's been a little bit of a hobby subject of mine for a long time, and not that I still fully grasp everything, because I don't, but I grasp the concept, and I am, you know, always trying to relate it to how I feel or my perceptions. And obviously, I'm not a physicist or a scientist, but I think each of us at some level can resonate with the topic tonight and kind of expand our thoughts and our ideas about life, where we're at, our reality, where we're going, what we want to manifest, and remember that, you know, what we perceive becomes a reality and vice versa.
Well, if nothing else, it expands our understanding of the nature of the cosmos and of the grand cosmos, you know, everything that there is. So it's something to think about, to ponder over, to imagine, to speculate on it, of the possibilities that could ultimately be the way of our grand cosmos, you know, grand scheme of things. We're learning, and that's the point of it, you know. And of course, science has really come a long way just in the last 10, 20 years, you know, with all these exoplanets and with everything that we've learned about the universe, about our solar system, about the planets, the fact that there's water pretty much about everywhere on all these moons and planets, and in some fashion, ice or under the surface or oceans buried under the surface. You know, Pluto, for crying out loud. I mean, we didn't even know what it looked like until a few years back, a few short years ago, when we finally got the probe there. It was just too far away. And there's so much that we're learning about quantum mechanics, quantum physics, and so forth. So it's designed to get you thinking. And we appreciate all the comments in the chat room tonight. It's a great topic, and of course, we'll be back next week with another one. So thanks to everybody for joining us this evening. Thanks to those listening to the archives. If you like what you're hearing, please tell other people about it. If you're a student at our schools, please tell others about it, because, you know, it's another way to grow. Thanks to Dr. Hunter. Thanks to Michael. And until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.